From the Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 studios in Los Angeles, it's time to go back to the films. Now here's your host, Tommy T. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me for the fourth installment of Back to the Films, a podcast dedicated to the reminiscence and appreciation of films of old. I am your host, Tommy T. Today, we will be discussing the film which proved to the world that cash grab sequels don't have to suck balls, Shrek 2, starring Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz, and Eddie Murphy. Now, before we begin, prepare your cheeks, as they're about to be sore from all this laughter. In similar fashion to Shrek 1, Shrek 2 opens with the narration of a fairy tale story, only this time by the distinct but equally sexy voice of Prince Charming, who, after chancing the perilous journey through blistering cold and scorching desert, has finally reached the Dragon's Keep to save Princess Fiona, whom is locked away in the highest room of the tallest tower from the fire-breathing dragon guarding her. And if all this sounds familiar, it is, as Shrek already did this shit. We then transition to the familiar and gorgeous green faces of Shrek and Fiona, who, after enjoying their honeymoon and beginning their lives anew in Shrek's beloved swamp, are interrupted by
Sergeant Pompous and the Fancy Pants Club Band,
summoning the newlywed couple to the kingdom of Far Far Away, so that Fiona's dad, that being the king of Far Far Away, can grant Shrek his blessing. I thought blessings were supposed to be granted before the wedding, but okay, DreamWorks, I get it, it's just a cash grab. After some convincing from Fiona, the Green Soulmates begin the long and strenuous trek to the kingdom of Not So Close Away, accompanied by Donkey to help speed up the journey, and knowing full well his propensity for being an annoying ass, to help speed up their slip into insanity as well.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
Really?
No!
After one too many Are We There Yet, the wacky trio finally arrive in Far Far Away, cueing the 1979 single Funky Town by the world-renowned music group Blips Incorporated. With store names such as Farbucks Coffee, Burger Prince, and Baskin Robin Hood, it is established to the audience that the kingdom of Far Far Away is essentially the Hollywood of the Shrektiverse, a universe I'd give my left Shrektacle to live in. Arriving at the grandiose castle overlooking the city, Shrek and Fiona finally meet up with the King and Queen of Hollywood. After some awkward hellos and howdy-you-dos, King Dad, a small and pathetic man was standing next to Shrek's chiseled by the god's frame, quickly establishes himself as a personal favorite, as he pulls the same tricks I do in avoiding social interaction.
Let's go back inside and pretend we're not home, Harold.
During dinner, it becomes apparent that King Dad doesn't approve of Shrek, as he believes that Shrek is much too good-looking for his daughter, a sentiment that I'd agree with if Fiona herself wasn't such a knockout. When dinner turns disastrous after Shrek starts choking on the silverware, Fiona runs to the sanctuary of her old bedroom. After having a cry, Fiona is greeted by a mysterious but equally thick fairy known as Fairy Godmother, who, after scaring the shit out of Fiona with a song and dance sequence reminiscent of Requiem for a Dream, reassures her that she's there to help. After Shrek and Fiona get into a heated argument concerning sacrifice or the lack thereof, King Dad is paid a visit by Godmother, who herself disapproves of Shrek and Fiona's marriage. Being forced into her magical carriage, we learn that not only is Godmother Prince Charming's mom, but that King Dad owes her a debt. And how does she want him to repay this debt, you ask? By having him kill Shrek and Fiona's marriage, that's how. King Dad takes the kill part a little too literally, though, as he hires a sleazy hitman to take out his ogre son-in-law. Unable to sleep, Shrek does what every respectable husband would do in his predicament, and reads his wife's diary. Nearly dying of cringe from reading its angst and hormonal-filled pages, King Dad pays Shrek a visit, scheduling a little get-to-know-each-other hunting trip. Unbeknownst to Shrek, this hunting trip is scheduled to be a lot like one you would expect of Dick Cheney. You know, the one where he gets shot? Reaching the destination marked on his minimap, Shrek gets into a catfight with a hired assassin who is, well, a cat. But not just any ordinary cat.
Puss! It would.
Ooh, I'll kill that cat!
Bested by the ogre, Puss accompanies Shrek on his adventure to change for Fiona, as all the ugly peasants have convinced him that he's anything but the walking embodiment of sex. With the help of a magical business card given by Godmother, Shrek is directed to a factory where he can obtain the change he oh so desires. Unimpressed with his unfavorable Yelp reviews, Shrek, Puss, and Donkey, who I failed to mention has been here this whole time, infiltrate the factory disguised as union workers. After making their way to her office, Shrek is turned down by Godmother, citing the up-to-the-moment fact that ogres don't live happily ever after. Sneaking into the potion room, the trio steals a potion conveniently named Happily Ever After and escape the factory, leaving a trail of blood and mutilated limbs in their wake. Along with happiness, comfort, and beauty divine, The potion promises treatment for other common stomach ailments, including
nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Knowing full well that the potion's effects might be permanent, Shrek drinks the potion anyway, stating that he loves Fiona even more than being an ogre. But not without Donkey getting a swig of the fluorescent blue substance himself. Although there are no obvious effects at first, Shrek, Donkey, even Fiona pass out from the potion, only to awaken different the next morning. Shrek, who let me remind you is the sexiest son of a bitch in the land, is horrified to find that he's now an inferior, albeit still incredibly sexy looking human, complete with a
cute button nose, thick wavy locks, taut round buttocks.
Fiona's back to looking like the human she was in the first movie, only not so creepy thanks to much needed and appreciated advancements in CGI. And Donkey is a full-blown stallion. There's a caveat to the potion, however, because in order for the potion's effects to be permanent, its guzzler must obtain their true love's kiss when the moon reaches its meridian in the sky, or in a language other than nerdy, midnight. After acquiring some better-fitting clothes, Shrek makes his way to the keep, only to be trapped by Godmother, while Charming poses as the new Shrek, all while Fiona stands bewildered as to what's going on. Bullied by Godmother into believing that Fiona doesn't love him, Shrek heads to the nearest dive to drink away his problems, accompanied by Donkey and Puss. While there, the trio eavesdrops on a meeting between King Dad, Godmother, and Charming. Due to her preference for green skin and abs that could shred cheese, Fiona is now warming up to Charming, inciting Godmother to give King Dad a love potion, one that will make its drinker fall in love with the first person they kiss. Learning of their blasted scheme, Shrek, Donkey, and Puss's covers are blown, inciting a runaway chase with local police forces that results in their arrest, but not without the use of excessive force. Having seen the chase on TV, the trio is broken out of jail by a group of fairy tale misfits comprised of Pinocchio, the gingerbread man, the big bad wolf, the three little pigs, and the three blind mice. Learning of Pinocchio's preference for ladies' underwear,
it's a thong!
And in an effort to stop Fiona from falling in love with Charming, Shrek cooks up a plan that involves visiting Gingy's old-time friend the Muffin Man, you know, the one who lives on Drury Lane, to bake up something big, with that something being a much larger yet dumber version of the Talking Biscuit, with Shrek riding shotgun on giant Gingy's shoulder. He and his entourage of fairy tale hooligans storm the castle, all while Godmother sings a cover of Bonnie Taylor's 1984 single Holding Out for a Hero. Shrek is successful in breaching the gate, but at the cost of Giant Gingy's short-lived life. After a short scuffle, Shrek is unable to stop Charming from kissing Fiona, but rather than receiving Fiona's loving embrace as anticipated, Charming receives one of her patented headbutts, as King Dad never gave her the potion. Having it to just about here with this crap, Godmother casts a curse at Shrek, only to have it reflected back by King's dad's freshly spit-polished armor. What type of fuckery she casted, I don't know, as Godmother turns into bubbles and King Dad is now a frog for some reason. Now in frog form, King Dad apologizes for being an ass and grants Shrek his long-awaited but totally unnecessary blessing. With the clock striking midnight, Shrek informs Fiona that if she wants to remain human, all she needs to do is kiss him. Willing to give up his beloved life as an ogre for her, Fiona turns down his offer, saying that all she wants is
to live happily ever after with the ogre I married.
And with a little bit of fairy dust and a flash of light, the soulmates are transformed back into their more attractive ogre forms. And they lived happily ever after. That is, of course, that they doesn't include Donkey, as he transforms back into his uglier ass form, receiving the shit end of the proverbial stick. Or is it short end? Who cares? Just cue the outro. Thank you for listening to Back to the Films. Join me next time, where I'll be discussing the movie that made Ryan Gosling one of Hollywood's most prestigious actors, The Notebook.